With these words, he led his army against Mithridates, having 20,000 foot soldiers and 2,500 horsemen. But when he had come within sight of the enemy and seen with amazement their multitude, he desired to refrain from battle and draw out the time. But presently, as they were on the point of joining battle, with no apparent change of weather but all on a sudden, the sky burst asunder, and a huge, flame-like body was seen to fall between the two armies. In shape, it was most like a wine jar, and in colour, like molten silver. Both sides were astonished at the sight, and separated. This marvel, as they say, occurred in Phrygia, at a place called Otrea. In the month of April 14th, 1561, at daybreak, between 4 and 5 a.m., a dreadful apparition occurred on the sun, and this was seen in Nuremberg in the city, before the gates and in the country, by many men and women. At first, there appeared in the middle of the sun two blood-red semicircular arcs, just like the moon in the last quarter. Above and below and on both sides of the sun, the colour was blood, and in the sun there stood a round ball of partly dull, partly black, ferrous colour. In between these globes there were visible a few blood-red crosses, between which there were blood-red strips, becoming thicker to the rear and in the front malleable, like the rods of reed grass. These all started to fight among themselves. The globes flew back and forth among themselves and fought vehemently with each other for over an hour. And when the conflict in and out of the sun was most intense, they became fatigued to such an extent that they all, as said above, fell from the sun down upon the earth as if they all burned, and they then wasted away on the earth with immense smoke. After all this, there was something like a black spear, very long and thick, sighted. The shaft pointed to the east, the point pointed west. Whatever such signs mean, God alone knows. Although we have seen, shortly one after another, many kinds of signs on the heaven, which are sent to us by the Almighty God to bring us to repentance, we still are, unfortunately, so ungrateful that we despise such high signs and miracles of God. The God-fearing will by no means discard these signs, but will take it to heart as a warning of their merciful Father in heaven, will mend their lives and faithfully beg God that he may avert his wrath, including the well-deserved punishment on us, so that we may temporarily here and perpetually there live as his children. In this year, one James Everill, a sober, discreet man, and two others, saw a great light in the night at Muddy River. When it stood still, it flamed up and was about 3 yards square. When it ran, it was contracted into the figure of a swine. It ran as swift as an arrow towards Charlton, and so up and down about 2 or 3 hours. They came down in their lighter about a mile, and when it was all over, the men found themselves carried quite back against the tide to the place they came from. Diverse other credible persons saw the same light, after, at about the same place. On February the 22nd, 1803, local fishermen of the Hariadori shore in Hitachi province saw an ominous ship drifting in the waters. Curious, they towed the vessel back to land, discovering that it was 3 meters high and 5 meters wide, reminding the witnesses of a kohako. Its upper part appeared to be made of red-coated rosewood, while the lower part was covered with brazen plates, obviously to protect it against sharp-edged rocks. The upper part had several windows made of glass or crystal, covered with bars and clogged with some kind of tree resin. The windows were completely transparent, and the baffled fishermen looked inside. The inner side of the Utsurobune was decorated with texts written in an unknown language. The fishermen found items inside, such as two bedsheets, a bottle filled with 3.5 liters of water, some cake, and kneaded meat. Then the fishermen saw a beautiful young woman, possibly 18 or 20 years old. Her body size was said to be 1.5 meters. The woman had red hair and eyebrows, the hair elongated by artificial white extensions. The extensions could have been made of white fur or thin, white powdered textile streaks. This hairstyle cannot be found in any literature. The skin of the lady was a very pale pink color. She wore precious, long, and smooth clothes of unknown fabrics. The woman began speaking, but no one understood her. She did not seem to understand the fisherman either, so no one could ask her about her origin. Although the mysterious woman appeared friendly and courteous, she acted oddly, for she always clutched a quadratic box made of pale material and around 0.5 meter in size. The woman did not allow anyone to touch the box, no matter how kindly or pressingly the witnesses asked. An old man from the village said, "This woman could be a princess of a foreign realm, who married at her homeland. But when she had an affair with a townsman after marriage, it caused a scandal, and the lover was killed for punishment. The princess was banned from home, for she enjoyed lots of sympathy, so she escaped the death penalty. Instead, she might have been exposed in that Utsurobune to leave her to destiny." If this should be correct, the quadratic box may contain the head of the woman's deceased lover. In the past, a very similar object with a woman was washed ashore on a close-by beach. During the incident, a small board with a pinned head was found. The contents of the box could therefore be the same, which would certainly explain why she protects it so much. It would afford lots of money and time to investigate the woman and her boat. Since it seems to be tradition to expose these boats at sea, we should bring the woman back to the Utsurobune and let her drift away. From human sight it might be cruel, but it seems to be her predetermined destiny. And so, the fishermen reassembled the Utsurobune, placed the woman in it, and set it to drift away into the ocean. Someone must be operating an airship in this portion of the state. Twice within the past 6 weeks it has been seen by reliable residents of Oakland, and on each occasion it has presented the same appearance. 6 weeks ago, a young lady was riding a wheel on Telegraph Avenue when she saw a strange-looking object in the sky. It appeared to descend gradually, but regularly, as though under perfect control, and it disappeared in the direction of San Francisco. Another witness to the visit of the airship is Selby Yost, a member of the Oakland Guard. He was a little behind time and was taking his car towards Piedmont, trying to recover the few minutes he was behind. As he passed 30th Street, a little boy stood in the road and cried, "Gee whiz, what's that?" The passengers heard it and immediately looked at the direction in the sky where the boy was pointing. They had no difficulty in seeing the airship. "When I looked ahead," said Mr. Yost today, "I was mystified. And I may as well confess I was. I don't like to admit to myself that I had suddenly gone crazy, but really for a moment I did wonder if my senses had abandoned me. The most peculiar feature of it was a powerful headlight, and another light which seemed to be in the bottom of the machine and to shine directly on the earth. It came into view from the direction of East Oakland, passing over Piedmont, and according to the story of the passengers, seemed to descend in such a manner as to indicate that it would land somewhere in San Francisco. It was the most uncanny looking thing I ever saw, and I am at a loss now to convince myself that I actually saw it." Many of the passengers took up their morning newspapers today expecting to see a full description of the peculiar object that they had seen so plainly, and were surprised and disappointed to find no report whatsoever. It is the prevalent opinion that someone in Alameda or neighboring counties has solved the problem of flying in the air and has been, for some weeks, putting his experiment to a practical test.